And now presenting
The Truth to Wellness Ministries,
the voice of overseas Christianity, with your hosts,
University Professors Dr. T and June.
Colors of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to Truth to Wellness Ministry. As you know, this program plays every Thursday at 6 to 6:30 and we focus on learning and knowledge that very often is gathered and benefited from overseas. I'm Dr. T, one of your hosts. We have the honor of continuing with Pastor Howard on part 3, continuing on our topic about the Holy Spirit. Why I ask Pastor Howard to talk about it is I have known Pastor Howard now for some time, and I really cannot think of a person who is better suited, a person who truly lives that lifestyle and lives it in a way that I very often see also overseas. Now, I'm often very careful not to criticize what we do here and our Christianity here, because I realize that the very freedom that we have also sometimes can be counterproductive towards living by faith. However, as a professor, I can also tell you that if my student is making a mistake in his answer, and if I was to say, oh, that's good, that's great, just because he can't tolerate to be told that, hey, maybe that's not the best way, I would not be a good professor. And likewise, I think the same applies to our Christianity here. Before we start, I would like us to listen to the song by Darlene, God is Great.
By the power of your love.
And here is now Pastor Howard with a part three on the Holy Spirit, which is a multi-part series of teachings that we're doing here. And I would like to actually say that we will be translating these teachings in some other languages and making it available in those languages in due process and in due time. As far as the previous teachings, if you are interested in seeing them, I think that would be probably prudent. They're all available on our website at truthtowellness.com, truthtowellness.com on the left side, or on the menu, depending which device you're using. You are able to access Season 2 and Season 3. Season 2 is what we had previously with Dr. Danko from Serbia, and Season 3, especially the latest episodes, include the teaching from Pastor Howard. So here's Pastor Howard with Part 3 on the Holy Spirit.
Well, this afternoon we're going to continue in the study of the life and work of the Holy Spirit. Last time we looked at the Holy Spirit, not just as a power, as the force be with you, but as a person. Jesus said, when I go, he will come. The Holy Spirit will come. And we looked at the work of the Holy Spirit in opening the scriptures, revealing the scriptures to us. All that we ever learn about God comes through the Holy Spirit, that he is the one who dwells with us and abides with us. So tonight, we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit. I want to welcome you. If you've not heard any teaching on the fruit of the Spirit, I'm sure you'll be encouraged, even challenged tonight. We're going to make use of our Bible. I love the Bible. It's the Word of God. It's God in print. It's God speaking to us. God is a speaking God. If we'll only have ears to hear, we will hear him speaking to us. So take notes. We'll open up the Bible first of all, and we're going to read from Paul's letter to the book to the Christians, early Christians at Galatia, the book of Galatians. We're going to read chapter 5, verses 16 to 26. So Paul says to these early Christians, he says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I told you before, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And this is the portion of scripture that we're going to look at today. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Do not let us become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So we would all agree, I'm sure, that it's not the works of the flesh we desire to be manifesting, but the fruit of the Spirit. If we've asked Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Saviour, we want to walk in the Spirit and manifest this fruit. So we're going to look at God's love, the love which lies at the very heart of the practical demonstration and outworking of the Christian life. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world. God so loved the world. God is love. It came with a new understanding a few months ago. I was saying to my grandchildren, I so love you. I so love you. And that came to me again. God so loved the world. God so loved the world. He loves each one of us. So as believers, there's no more practical and important, there's no more important aspect than we be fruitful. The love which lies at the very heart of the practical demonstration and outworking of the Christian life. Surely nothing can be more important than having the life and character and graces of Christ flowing through us on a day-to-day basis, demonstrating to a needy world the love of God. Paul again writing to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." So we see it's a work of the Holy Spirit in conforming the believer into the image of Christ, being transformed from glory to glory. As we cooperate, and that's so important, our cooperation is so important, we're being made more like Jesus. How thought-provoking that is, that because of the work of the Holy Spirit, it's possible for others to look at you and say, "I see Jesus in him. I see Jesus in her." The love of God shining through us. How wonderful. John tells us that God is love, and the Spirit's work in our lives is to allow that love to be manifested to a dying and needy world. In reality, it's the fruit in our lives that's the evidence that something's going on inside. There's a work being done. We are being changed. This is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "You'll know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes, or do they gather figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, neither can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." The Word of God is very clear and definite in its recognition and identification of a truly Spirit-filled believer. It says, "By their fruits you shall know them." So the first question in our study is, how will you know a Spirit-filled person? Answer, by their fruit. The fruit is the evidence of a Spirit-filled life. Let me ask that again. The question is, how will you know a Spirit-filled believer? The answer, by their fruit you will know them. Psalm 1 talks about the man who abides in the presence of God and bears much fruit. Read it sometime, Psalm chapter 1. Here we read of a man and a woman who are truly blessed, like this tree, bringing forth fruit. Our main purpose is fruit-bearing. One interesting observation here is that the fruit of the tree is not for the tree, but for others. Listen now to this comment by Samuel Chadwick on Paul's outlining of the fruit of the Spirit. He says in newspaper English, this passage would read something like this. "This fruit of the Spirit is an affectionate, loving disposition, a radiant spirit and a joyful temper, a tranquil mind and a quiet manner, a forbearing patience in provoking circumstances and with trying people, a sympathetic insight and tactful helpfulness, generous judgment and big-souled charity, loyalty, reliableness under all circumstances, and a humility that forgets self in the joy of others, in all things self-mastered and self-controlled, which is the final mark of perfection." How that powerfully describes the fruit of the Spirit. I find it interesting indeed and challenged to read that Jesus had no place for a tree that did not bear fruit. You can study Matthew chapter 21 and John chapter 15. A tree void of fruit is a useless tree. John 15 verse 8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." The Bible talks about much fruit and more fruit to the glory of God. So when there is fruit developing in our daily walk, we see that it brings glory to God and is a true evidence of our discipleship. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of Christ, produced by the Spirit of Christ in you and I as we dwell and abide in him. That's worth repeating again. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of Christ, produced by the Spirit of Christ in you and in I as we dwell and abide in him. So important to know the contrast here between in this chapter here, in chapter 5 of Galatians that we read. It talks about the works of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit wholly proceeds from the Spirit. You can't find it in yourself. This agape love has its source in God. It cannot be generated out of our own self-life. It does not originate with man, but with God. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You cannot work it up. You cannot fabricate it. You cannot copy it. Notice here again, it's the works of the flesh as against the fruit of the Spirit. What comes naturally out of our sinful nature is works, reaching to attain to righteousness in our own works. It's impossible. The fruit of the Spirit is not man-made. It's not constructed. It's not a nuts and bolts issue. It grows. It's the result of a Christ-filled life. So I want to share with you now what I believe to be a correct interpretation of Paul's teaching from Galatians 5. I believe, personally, that there's one fruit of the Spirit, and that's love. Both English and Greek words are singular. Fruit, not fruits. Doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit, but fruit. So what are these other graces that are listed in verse 22 and verse 23 of Galatians 5? They are the characteristics of love, like the facets of a diamond. See a diamond and different cuts on the diamond that the master has shaped so that you see different lights and reflections from the diamond. Well, love is like, this is like the facets of a diamond. Listen to these words of Moody, great American evangelist of the last century. It may be a new consideration for you. He says, joy is love exulting. Peace is love reposing. Long-suffering is love untiring. Gentleness is love enduring. Goodness is love in action. Faith is love on the battlefield. Meekness is love under discipline. And temperance is love in training. God is love, and in all his dealing with mankind, he is a loving God. So let's spend just a little time in examining this wonderful word love. English language is limited. I can say, I love chocolate, I love trains, I love to travel, I love my wife. Notice we use the same word, but it has different values and deeper emotions for each expression. It's very obvious that it is limited in its power of expression. But in the original Greek, there are other alternatives for the English word love that give us a greater insight and understanding. We have the word eros, E-R-O-S, the love of a man for a woman. It speaks of passion. We get the word erotic from that. It talks of a physical love. It can be a very selfish kind of love. It's never used in the New Testament. Then there's the word philio, P-H-I-L-I-O, sharing a friendship kind of love. I love you because you love me. It's a warm kind of love for those friends who are really close. Then we have the word storge, S-T-O-R-G-E. We could call this family affection. Children and parents and family. An affectionate kind of love. Then there's agape, A-G-A-P-E, God's kind of love. This is a new word coined by Jesus, a love that goes beyond our natural self-seeking and does not seek for returns. It's a truly giving kind of love. We mentioned John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life, God giving his Son Jesus. Mankind knows nothing of this agape only by the work of the Holy Spirit. It is beyond our natural ability to demonstrate this love of God. It's a supernatural kind of love. best defined in Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to read it to you. It says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Listen to the comment by Barclay. Agape, the Christian word, means unconquerable benevolence. It means that no matter what a man may do to us by way of insult or injury or humiliation, we'll never seek anything else but his highest good. It is therefore a feeling of the mind as much as the heart. It concerns the will as much as the emotions. It describes the deliberate effort we can only make with the help of God, never to seek anything but the best, even for those who seek the worst for us. I think we could all truthfully say that's a real challenge for every one of us. To be filled with the Spirit is to be filled with love. Love is the cement that binds all the other virtues of the fruit of the Spirit together.
Pastor Howard, thank you for your teaching today. I really appreciate the fact that you're bringing love into this. I think that love is the underlying current. And too many times in our Christian walk, too many times as we look at different things, I think we focus on rules and we focus on what we can and cannot do. But sometimes we forget the underlying current of it, and that is the love. The love that God had for us and has for us. The love that was sufficient, that Jesus died for us. The love that is looking after us in our everyday things and more than we ever know. And I think that even I caught myself many times thinking and being legalistic, forgetting that the only reason why I'm here and the only reason I got converted at my young age and was able to serve God all this time is because of his love, not because of anything I have done. And I know sometimes it may be a little bit sobering for people, but it's also comforting because it also means that it's not what we do, although it is how we live, and that is because it's driven by the love in our hearts. So it is definitely something that I appreciate hearing. And your whole teaching and description of the Holy Spirit, this is now the end of part three. And I have to say, I have enjoyed every one of these parts, and I definitely have enjoyed the parts that are yet to be broadcast. And so we will have multiple parts coming, and we will discuss the topic in significant detail, because I think that too many times, for whatever reason, we don't really discuss it. And the bottom line is that the Word of God is the way we have to go. That is our guide. That is our compass. It's not human philosophy. It's not church doctrine. It's not what this or that pastor thinks or says. It, in the end, is the Word of God. So I really appreciate that not only that you shared this message and shared this teaching, but also that you used the Word of God and relied on it as a base. So thank you very much again. Now, as we consider the teaching and the words that we have heard, I would like you to also do so prayerfully as we listen to Darlene with her song, In Jesus' Name.
The preceding was a presentation by Truth to Wellness Ministries Incorporated, a not-for-profit corporation.
All the events portrayed are true. Some information may have been disguised for security reasons. For more information, please contact us via email at truthtowellness@gmail.com.